During my time in Budapest, I had so many different communities at each of these workplaces, with the spiritual community that I worshiped with, and I really learned how to celebrate and seek diversity, and then let that diversity blossom through practicing radical vulnerability, which I will talk to you all a little bit about later. Like I said, these photos are a compilation of the many different kinds of experiences that I had during my time in Hungary. Some of the photos that you'll see in the background are of trips that I took for my work with the Ecumenical Office. Some of them are refugee beneficiaries that I worked with and got to know during my time at Columba. And others are Roma children that I attempted to teach English, but mostly just ended up doing a lot of crafts with and a lot of social building. My first placement, like I said, was at the Ecumenical Office of the National Church. I had the unique ability to get to see what the church was doing on a national and an international scale, as well as on a community level, which is something that here in the United States I never had the opportunity to do. I had always been in high school or studying in university, and so when I moved to Hungary and worked at the National Church Office, I got to see how international church relations worked, which, as a person who studied politics and religion in university, I nerded out, and it was amazing. In my work there, I was in a normal office setting, and I helped facilitate international communications for the church. So that meant writing reports and articles, doing promotional materials, helping to coordinate conferences and events, but also hosting any international church guests who came to visit. So if people from the World Communion of Reformed Churches, the WCRC, came to visit Hungary, I was their host then for the week while they were here, and I got to show them around the city. The same when we had church partners visit from Switzerland or Greece or Germany. I had the opportunity to interact with these church leaders and learn how Christianity works around the world and what the church is doing on a global scale, which was something, like I said, that I had never had the opportunity to experience here in the U.S. It was very eye-opening. But in addition to that, like I said, I worked with two different community outreach programs, specifically in the city of Budapest. So I got to see what the church does on a wider scale, but also what the Hungarian church does on a community level for the people in Budapest. Columba is a refugee integration nonprofit that is church-affiliated. And like I said, I worked with them for my whole 2 years in Hungary because as the political situation got more tense in Hungary, the needs for people to work with refugees only increased. The nonprofit is a holistic integration center, which means that they not only have language classes and housing programs, and they help refugees with their educational needs, they also have a social component too. So social workers are available on staff, and we help people build a community network there in Hungary. The best way that integration happens is when people are connected. And so unlike a lot of nonprofits in the city, this church is a nonprofit focused on holistic integration for refugees and really got people set up socially. It let them have connections to make them feel more stable when they came to Hungary. And that is what I did. I did a lot of community building with the people there. We had about 250 people who would come through on a weekly basis, some just for language classes, some to visit with a social worker, and some to see me for all of the different events that I put on. I would host Friday afternoon coloring time for adults, which turned out to be an amazing ministry in and of itself. It's amazing when you have people who are constantly under pressure and constantly under stress, you know, coming to a new country, fleeing violence in their homeland, and then not knowing how anything works in this new place that they've arrived, to give them a space to have an artistic outlet. Oh my gosh, the conversations that followed in that time were so holy and so special. It was phenomenal. And it was something that had never really been done at the nonprofit before I came, giving people this space to just be. So my presence there was very critical. Like I said, on a day-to-day basis, I would do practical things like writing English reports and other administrative things. But mostly what I did was community building for the people there that I worked with. The folks came from Iraq, Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, Somalia, and truly just around the world. My other placement like I told you, was with the church's Roma mission. And I only did that for my first year in Hungary. But during my time there, I worked at an after-school program for at-risk Roma youth, and I also worked in a Roma high school. At the after-school center, I worked with a lot of adorable children who forced me to up my Hungarian game. Hungarian is a very difficult language, okay? And with these kids, I was forced to speak as much Hungarian as I could because they did not speak any English, unlike the refugees that I worked with. And so with these kids, it was amazing to see. We struggled to use language and to find commonality, them speaking English and me speaking Hungarian. But it also became very simple, because on some level, kids don't really care about language. They care about presence. Adults are the ones who oftentimes get caught up in language differences. And so it was truly phenomenal to see the kinds of connections that I could make with Roma youth when we didn't necessarily share the same language and we missed about 90% of what each other was saying. We still connected, and it was so beautiful. And then my placement there at a Roma high school, I worked with students from 9th to 12th grade, and I was an English conversation partner for them. I think I kind of freaked the teacher out there a little bit, because my rule with the kids was that if they were practicing English, we would talk about anything they wanted. They could ask any question, no matter how taboo it was in Hungarian culture. I was not a Hungarian. And so when I was in the classroom, there were no rules. And in a country where a lot of things are taboo and not a lot of things are discussed openly, me walking into the classroom saying, yeah, ask me anything you want, really gave these kids an opportunity to find freedom in ways that they hadn't necessarily found before. And it also gave me an opportunity then to learn about Hungarian culture in a very different way, what the Hungarian youth are saying about life in Hungary and what their struggles are and what their hopes and their dreams are. It was a really unique placement there, and I think I got a lot of phenomenal details and experiences and knowledge that I wouldn't have gotten at any of my other placements. I hope that I opened their minds, and they definitely opened mine. And in the midst of all of these three placements, at the ecumenical office, with Columba, and with the Roma mission, I, like I said, it was a whirlwind, and I had to find a spiritual home. So on my first Sunday, when I was living there in Budapest, I visited a Church of Scotland congregation. One of my coworkers had taken me, and I instantly fell in love with it. So I started attending St. Columba's Church of Scotland, which is a church that's affiliated with both the Church of Scotland and the Reformed Church in Hungary. And it became my spiritual home for those 2 years that I was there. It was a missional congregation that was founded by Scottish missionaries who had come to convert Jews in Budapest. But over time, it became a safe haven for the Jewish community in Budapest during World War II. They took in girls and they hid people in the basement so that they wouldn't be taken away. And over time, it has now continued to evolve into a safe haven for foreigners in the city because it's an English-speaking congregation. So we would get internationals like myself living there. We would get people from embassies who spoke English. Refugees came, migrants came, students who were studying abroad came. And the type of community there where we all recognized and named our diverse backgrounds and then found ways to connect because of those differences, sometimes in spite of, but mostly because of those differences, was an amazing expression of church that I had never experienced before, and it taught me so much during those 2 years. Through all of these communities that I was a part of, I learned that sometimes you have to try and cultivate and seek out diversity and how important that can be for any community that you're a part of. Not just racial diversity, but diversity in age, diversity in experiences, diversity in socioeconomic background, diversity of gender expression, diversity of theology. And when you seek out these differences, like I did in all of my placements, and you cultivate an atmosphere of radical vulnerability, you can connect and grow so much. For me, the concept of radical vulnerability is very much a theological one. I see Christ on earth as being the ultimate expression of radical vulnerability and love. And I had made that a spiritual practice during my time in the U.S. to be vulnerable with people, to try and be as authentic and holy myself as I could be in every situation. But when I came to Hungary, it became a bit harder because suddenly I was surrounded by people who didn't always want to give that vulnerability back. And it was a bit of a struggle for me in all of my placements. And here in the United States, it was easy to say, when I know that I'm connecting with someone, I'll open myself up and they will reciprocate. I'm from the Midwest. People here are very friendly. You know, you open yourself up, people will hug you. If you start crying, they're going to give you a tissue. It's fine. But that was not necessarily the case in Central Europe, and so suddenly it became a lot harder for me to be intentional about practicing radical vulnerability with the refugees that I worked with my Hungarian coworkers, with other international volunteers. And so I had to be uncomfortable and open myself up, whether I thought the other person was going to reciprocate or not. And it made such an impact on my life. Truly, opening myself up without knowing if the other person would reciprocate is terrifying. But doing that throughout all of my placements meant that I connected on such a deeper level with people. And sometimes it was planned. I would set aside time for these kind of discussions and these kinds of moments. But oftentimes it was just totally spontaneous. When someone would ask me how was I doing and I was having a rough day, I would be honest about my struggle. And oftentimes, the young refugee men that I worked with would say, oh my gosh, you always are smiling and you're so happy, but I'm struggling too. And hearing that you are, and you're a white woman living in Hungary, you know, I had no idea about your struggles. Let's talk about yours, and let's talk about mine, and let's connect on that. And what I learned is that it takes work, but when you put in the effort to cultivate that kind of authentic space, openness comes flooding out. And I think that we all crave moments where we allow ourselves to be fully seen and fully heard and fully ourselves. And that's the magic of radical vulnerability, is that when you open yourself up, you give a little piece of yourself away, and it's scary. But you also get so much more back in that connection that you make with the other person. It reminds me of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. And that speaks to me so much because my vulnerability during my time in Hungary, in a place where it was not necessarily popular or easy to be vulnerable about the work that I was doing, it was not just me doing it. It was absolutely the Creator speaking through me in those moments, sometimes saying exactly what the other person needed to hear, and sometimes they said exactly what I needed to hear. The group of people that I connected most with during my time in Hungary were the young men of military age that I worked with at Columba, refugee men who had fled their home countries because they didn't want to be forced to enlist in a violent conflict that they wanted no part of. They were young men of military age, but they're also so much more. The men that I worked with were deeply human and full of flaws and scars and hopes and passions and dreams. And through our open vulnerability, they shared that with me, and I got to hear so many amazing life stories from them. Without them, I would not be who I am today, standing here in front of you. The young men there in Budapest that I worked with are now some of my best friends. They were texting me before I got up here to speak, actually telling me good luck and that they are all thinking of me. They are the kind of people that I want to bring here and introduce to my friends and my family, the kind of people that I want my best friends to date and that I want to bring to church on a Sunday morning, because they understood vulnerability in a way that was uncommon there in Hungary because of how much that they had been through. I think for them it would have been so easy. They're stereotyped as, you know, men of military age, something to be feared. And despite all of that, they still took a leap of faith and were vulnerable with me, and were vulnerable with our social workers that we have working with them. And the connections that we made was just were just spectacular. Truly, it astounded me. So I encourage you all to seek diversity in whatever space you're in whatever community you're a part of. Diversity, like I said, looks different in each community. But I encourage you to seek it and to practice radical vulnerability within your communities. It takes work, it takes effort, and it takes intentionality, but it is so worth it, practicing holy listening and speaking. Because you never know what God might be calling you to do in your communities. After all of this, after all of these amazing experiences and being here talking with you, I have decided to take on another global mission internship, this time in Greece. And so I will be here in the United States for the next 5 weeks, speaking at congregations like this one, and simultaneously trying to figure out my visa to Greece, which we'll see how that goes. I'll update you all when I find out. but then I will be moving to Greece to continue this work. I have felt a calling to human migration and to work with people on the move. And so I will be taking everything that I have learned about community building and community development, and I will be going to Greece to help a nonprofit there get started. It's very small compared to what I'm used to, working with, 200 to 300 people on a weekly basis. I will only have about 10 families, but I will have the opportunity to help them integrate into life in Greece. And I am so thrilled about that upcoming opportunity. So please take what I've said to heart and keep me in your thoughts and your prayers over the next couple of weeks. I will take all the prayers that I can get because I will need them. So thank you for having me and for letting me share my story with you. And thank you again for supporting the work of Global Ministries so that myself and other young people can do this kind of work and connect with global church partners around the world. It truly means the world to me.